This morning we're going to go back to where teaching. I started last week. The Lord spoke to me about teaching on the areas of the healing anointing. We're really going to go. We're going through some fundamental things in scriptures. I'm not teaching something. It's not a new revelation, but many times we get new revelation from things that are being taught because depending on the stage or point that we are in our own personal development. You know, there's some things we learn and we learn more from them. But I'm not teaching anything that people haven't already taught or known. But we want to go back over. We're going through a sequence of things because there's one thing as you look over the years. I know of myself in ministry and things of places and time that I was in ministry. God has really desires to bless humanity. Jesus Christ appeared to Kenneth E. Hagin years ago and told him and said to him, he said, I try to bless my people as much as I can all the time. I'm trying always to bless. Sometimes he said people, they're in a position to be blessed. But I do ever whatever I can. I'm always trying to bless my people. And I remember hearing that. It really became, I thought about that. God is always looking at us as he wants to do something good for us. God's not trying to figure out to do something bad to you, get you or something, or you did something. He's trying to get you. It's not what he's doing. God wants to bless people. And we're looking at these things of many times what we're dealing with, and we talked about last week. And I won't go back over that. I mean, if anybody wants to listen to it, you know, we do have CDs, but you can go online on our site. You can download it free and listen to it, of the teaching. But we looked at one of the greatest things is really as people deal with a problem when we come down in our Christian walk in the areas, and we're focusing on healing, but this could be other areas too in our Christian walk. And these principles I'm teaching, many a times these principles overflow into other areas. You can learn from one principle how to operate in another one, you know, of operations of faith, whether it's faith concerning healing or you go over to some other area that you're hooking up in with God. These principles work. We're focusing specifically on the areas with operating in the healing anointing. And one of the things that we said in dealing with is most of the time what most people, the problem they're having, they're confronting, is a lack of knowledge. That's what most people deal with. They're dealing with lack of knowledge. And as the scripture said, and we use the scriptures, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. The lack of knowledge is really a problem. You know, being ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance isn't bliss. And in the church world, many times what the church has thrown their responsibility over onto God, that God is just going to do it. If God wants me to have something, I'll just have it. Well, God's willing that none should perish and all come to repentance, so I guess there's nobody in hell then. I guess hell is an empty spot. Well, see, it doesn't work that way. There's a God side to everything and there's a man's side. There's a part that God does and there's a part that we do. You know, God made the way of redemption, but we have to receive it. You don't receive it, it don't work. I don't care how much he wants you to have it, it don't work. So what we want to find out is where's our part, where's God's part? I have found this in Christianity over the years. Lots of times Christians are trying to do God's part. And they're not doing their part. They're trying to do God's part. They're trying to make things happen. Well, you know, this one thing is I found out a long time ago. I can't heal me. I can't heal me. God can. I can't. I can't do it. So my job is not to do the healing. That's not my job. I was glad to find that out. Since I couldn't do it, it wasn't my job. Good. I was glad to hear that. That was God's job. But what do I do to hook up with his healing power? What is it that where will I fit into this? Now, we looked last week at two areas of scriptures. And one of them we looked at were the gentleman who was paralyzed and he had four friends and he came to where Jesus was teaching in a house. The Bible told us that the power of God was present there to heal. They couldn't get into the place. They went up on the roof and took the roof off and dropped him down through the roof. Why? To get him to the healing power of God. They wanted to get him to it. And this is one thing is that we want to connect with the healing power of God. We talked about there was an obstacle. In other words, in their ways, they had to overcome an obstacle. And this is, understand this, many times you and I have to overcome obstacles. Many times we're trying to get God to overcome obstacles because sometimes we don't like to face problems. And we like to avoid them. And sometimes you have to face the things to get to where you want to go. We also looked at the woman with the issue of blood. She had an obstacle. She had a huge crowd to go through. They said the crowds were thronging, it says Jesus. She had to push through to go to get to him. It says it was a multitude, so it wasn't like 100 people. There's a multitude. And Jesus, the scriptures tell us that they were thronging him. In other words, everybody's pushing against him. And this woman has to push her way through. Now, I'm imagining there's people got upset because she was pushing through. And you're going to find this. If you're going to go after God, you're going to find that there's always Christians who are going to be upset at you for pushing into something. There's always going to be the ones, and I'm just going to say this, walk in love with them. Don't get in fusses with them. Let them do their fussing. Let them do their complaining. You just keep going after God. You go after God because they're always in your life. There's always ones that are going to try to hold you back. I mean, that's just the way it is. But if you go out and get in fusses and worry about all those people and that stuff, you won't go nowhere. You go after things. You know, Jesus said, the violent take it before. You're going to have to go after some things that you want to, because there's always things that want to hold you back, that want to keep you from getting to what God wants you to have. And so we said sometimes there's obstacles in a way, and we talked about this. There's obstacles in a way. Now, they had physical obstacles, but sometimes when we're talking about a lack of knowledge could be an obstacle to keep from keeping you to get to what you want from God. It could be that obstacle that you have that, you know, you need. There's a piece of revelation you know need to know. And I want you to, you know, get to the point. Many times people say, well, I'm standing in faith with God for this, or I'm standing in faith for God with God. And sometimes they'll go for huge, long periods of time. Nothing ever changes. And they keep saying, well, I'm going in faith with God. There's one thing, as I found out with faith in God, is this. Number one, when you hit to the place of faith, you can know this. If you're not at rest, you're not at faith. Faith's at rest. Once I'm in a position of trust, I'm at the place of rest. Now, on the outside, you can have things going on that aren't. But many people go along, and they're never at rest and talk about faith. But they're never at rest. They're still trying to obtain something. They've never believed they've received a thing from God. They believe God's still holding out, and I have to do something else or figure something else out to get him to do this. And maybe if I do this enough, or you know, maybe if I do that, then he'll. And what happens, it's so easy to get over into works. And after a while, you're trying to earn what God's given you. I'm going to tell you what, you can't earn the healing power of God. You can't earn none of this stuff. I never had to earn my salvation. I never did a good thing to get saved. Not a good thing. All I did was obeyed what the Word said. I had to believe that Jesus is Lord. God raised him from the dead. And I had to, you know, confess his Lordship. I mean, wasn't that a toughie? I mean, that was really a work one. That's what I had to do. That's what you did. Just think about that. That's what you did to get saved. It's somehow, there seems to be a breakaway where people come in by faith and then try to walk with works from that point on. Try to earn their way with God. Now, I believe in good works. Good works has to do with my reward. You know, read the churches in the book of Revelation. Their reward is going to be based on the works. But their salvation isn't based on the works. The goodness of God, the things that we get through grace, all comes through faith. You know, we teach grace by faith and then turn around and try to throw works at it and call it grace. And it's not. You never get good enough to earn the things that God has blessed us with. We don't earn them. We trust Him for them. And many times people get over that lack of knowledge in the area where maybe if I do this or I do that or I do this, they're always trying to do something. They're always trying to, well, maybe if I do this and over here is that, and maybe if I just eat this thing or I'll just do that one. Or that. Well, if God tells you to do something a certain way, but if you ain't heard from heaven, walk the faith. If you're missing it, listen to God. You know, pay attention to what God is saying, but walk by faith. Come to the place of rest. If you haven't come to the place of rest, then you need to sit down and meditate on the scriptures till you believe them. You need to come to that place. You know, sometimes you do. Sometimes you got to just park. I don't know about you. I can't throw an instant switch faith. I don't know about, maybe you can. Maybe you're just a dynamic. Sometimes it just takes me time to sit down and I'll get the scriptures till I am ready to make a confession of faith, or I'm ready to pray by faith. Kenneth Hagin told us in Bible school, he said, most Christians pray too quick before they're ready. So you get people get in trouble, They always want an instant gratification. And they want everything fixed that they've spent years messing up. And they want a quick fix one day. The church has been a huge problem in this area because we let people believe they're going to get a quick fix. And then when they don't get it, well, this stuff don't work. It takes time. I didn't grow up overnight spiritually. It took time. It took time to learn things. It takes time. There's areas of my Christian walk that I thought years ago I knew pretty much in. And when I look back today, I think, dear God, was He merciful to me? I didn't know near as much as I thought I knew. I didn't have as much insight as I thought I did. But over time, I developed more insight, got more revelation about a certain area. And where I look at walking today is totally different than what I did at that time. And there's things that I can do today that I couldn't do then. And so you learn and develop. Just like a child does naturally, spiritual development is very much the same. Now, so we're looking at these things, and so we want to go along. One of the things I want to talk today about the anointing, I wasn't going to go directly into what I was going to go to today, but I woke up on Saturday morning, and Saturday morning there was this thing just going on in my spirit about something to had to do with the anointing, and the Lord, and I just knew the Lord was trying to deal with me on something, and I just laid there in bed, and I just kept getting more and more. And so I thought, well, this is going to change on the direction that we were moving in this. And I thought, well, God's heading this way, so we'll go with God. Let's go with Him on it. I had some good ideas. At least I thought they were. They might not have been bad ideas, but God wants to just shift the teaching here. But we're going to be talking about the same subject, but it's just a different in line of what I was going to speak on at first. And what we want to look at, I want to look at a scripture that is very familiar that people have used over time, is Isaiah, dealing with the anointing, Isaiah the 10th chapter and verse 27. Isaiah 10 and verse 27, it says, "It shall come to pass in that day that His burden will be taken away from your shoulder, and His yoke from your neck. And the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing oil." Now, it's interesting. They use a term anointing oil. I'm reading from the King James, the New King James. King James says anointing. But many translations say anointing oil. In fact, you look up at what that scripture is, what that Hebrew word means. It does deal with the anointing oil. But we need to understand what that represents. The fact that we use it in like King James says the anointing, that's correct too. They're both correct. I want you to understand this about, and when you read like in the Old Testament and we read like even in the New Testament, oil and the anointing of oil was a representation of the anointing, of the presence of the anointing of God. That's what it was for. Now, and understand, it wasn't just used from the standpoint of healing, although it was. We found if you look at Jesus and look at Jesus' ministry, He sent His disciples out to minister, and it says at one place they were anointing the sick with oil and they were being healed. It's a representation of the healing power of God. Now the anointing, in fact, the anointing oil that they used was probably, it was olive oil, and lots of times what they would do, they would put a perfume in it. And they had anointing oil that had a really nice scent to it, and that's what they anointed people. Well, the Holy Ghost, it's one thing as I've learned in my years as walking as a Christian, I'll tell you, the Holy Ghost got a good scent. the Holy Ghost. And so, but it was representation, and you get a hold of this because of the using of oil. The oil itself has no effect. What it represents can inspire your faith. And that's its point, is to inspire faith. And I want you to get a hold of this because of the lack of knowledge. Many times when people dealing in the areas of healing are trying to get God to heal them, and they're thinking they're trying to get God to send something from some place to another for whatever they think God is or whatever it is, they're trying to get God to give it. And I want you to understand and look at something about this. Now, if we go back in the anointing, King David, like David was anointed by Samuel, they anointed him with oil, and the anointing, in other words, the anointing to be king came upon him. And you'll find through scriptures that's what they did. You'll find it at other places too. It was a representation of the anointing. When we deal with the term anointing, it can really be, it's a really a wide range of things, because the anointing of God covers all kinds of things. I have an anointing on my life to minister the word. And that's an anointing. It's an anointing in the same measure. So God's anointing on people for things covers an enormous area of when you talk about the anointing, because the anointing could be the healing power of God. It could be the anointing to stand in a ministry office. It can be, you know, the anointing. God could anoint somebody to some other offices or some things, but the anointing for whatever it might be, people get anointed to do. And we know that sometimes that there are people who, like in ministry, sometimes there's people who have a special healing anointing. They got a special anointing that's on them for healing. Kenneth E. Hagin, over the years, and I've read back over some of the history of him in ministry. Kenneth E. Hagin Jesus Christ appeared to him many years ago, but he was caught up to heaven, and Jesus touched his hands, put his finger in the palm of each of his hands, and he told him to tell people, if they would believe that he saw Jesus when he laid hands on them for healing, and they would believe he saw Jesus, and they would believe that the healing anointing was in his hands, he said they would be healed. And Kenneth Hagin said, it was remarkable. He said, over the years, he said, anybody who I ministered to who believed that, they got healed. They always got healed if they believed that. And he talked about, he said, after Jesus turned my hand, he said, for weeks, my hands just burned and burned and burned. So sometimes the healing anointing has a manifestation. I have sometimes, to me, the healing anointing. If the anointing comes on me for something, lots of times it sort of feels like electricity. It feels like electric in my hands. I can feel it. I can tell when it goes out of me. I can tell when I lay hands on somebody and whether it goes into them or not. I can tell. I can tell people receive it or not. People don't always receive it. Just like salvation and anything else. Some people think just because somebody has an anointing, I'm just going to get it. Well, that don't work. We had two incidences we talked about last week. We're talking about large groups of people, yet in both instances, only one person got healed. So I want you to understand that just because the healing of God, anointing is present, does not guarantee you any healing. Guarantees you nothing. Guarantees you nothing, just because it's there. And so we need to understand these things, because a lot of people have a lot of misconceptions. Many times people look around and they go by their feelings and how things are, whether God's moving or not. God can be moving, and he don't move by your feelings and whether you feel it or not as he's moving. We need to come over to be in line with the word of God and get more in line with the word. So, but I want you to see concerning the anointing and healing. We have in the New Testament, James in the 5th chapter, James makes this statement in the 5th chapter, verse 14. He said, is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now here we have the anointing of oil. But now he says in verse 15, he makes a clarification. He says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Now that word save there, when Jesus was ministering healing, that word, the translators translated healed. And here they translated saved. I don't know why. Don't make no sense to me. Now, there's other translations that translated healed. He's talking about healing here. He said, now, did he say here that the anointing oil healed the sick? No, it didn't. He said the prayer of faith heals the sick. What is the anointing oil for? It is a representation of the healing anointing here in this instance, the healing anointing. In other words, I want you to get a hold of this, and you need to understand it. That means, and I want you to understand, listen to what I'm saying. You could come to an elder of the church and ask them to pray for you for sickness. And you know what? They don't have to pray to get the anointing healing there or nothing. It's already there. Because when they anoint you with oil, the whole thing of the oil is representation that the anointing is present. If the anointing, healing anointing is not present, then this is all false and fake. It's not. The healing anointing is always present. Always. always present. I remember I was really surprised as a young Christian. The Lord had been speaking to me. I'd been dealing a lot. And like I've told you guys, when I first got saved, I spent about 3 years in this subject of healing. The Lord just kept leading me into it, leading into about healing. And the Lord spoke to me one day and said this to me. He said, when you lay hands on people, he said, the healing anointing is always there. He said, either people will receive it or they won't. He said, it's up to them. He said, it's not up to you. He said, whether you feel like the anointing's there or whether you feel anything or not, the healing anointing is always present. See, God would not say, anoint the sick with oil if the anointing is not present. That would be false. They want the whole point is the anointing of oil is in representation that the healing anointing is there. And the person is supposed to believe it's there. Faith believes it's there whether you feel it or whatever it is. You believe it's there. The healing anointing is there. It's always present. Well, at first when the Lord told me that, I'd never heard anybody specifically say that. Later on I heard others teach it. Kenneth Hagin talked about the healing anointing always being present, that the healing is always present. It's always there. Jesus was in the house, we read, where the guys came and took out the roof. It said the power of God was present to heal. To heal them, and it specifically said who them was. Them was the Pharisees and the scribes. It was specifically, did any of them get healed? No, but it was present. The power of God's always present. It's present. You know, I don't understand. Church says God's everywhere, but constantly acts like he's never anywhere. They're always talking like he's not. They're always trying to get him to do what he's already done. When the Holy Spirit came in the day of Pentecost, he's here. The anointing of God is here. When we get salvation, we're not trying to get God to save us. We receive it. We receive what's already been given. We take it. God's not going to, he don't have to go to the cross for Ed when my day came to be saved, when I decided to save. It was done. The thing was fed. What I did is I received what he did. See, we need to get on to that thing. We're trying to get God to do what he did. The presence of God. That's why I always have that song singing more. God is here. I don't care if I come in here and don't feel like nothing. God is here. And you know what? Until you get in faith with that stuff, people talk about seeking God and they're always looking for a God that's hidden. My God's not hidden. My God is with me. He is in me. Every place I go, God is. I'm with God. I'm united and one with God. And see, we got to get it. Religion keeps separating us away from God. It's trying. We talk about personal relationship and then teach like you can't have one. He's with me. And see, I want that consciousness in you that God is with you. You know what? When you mess up, God's with you. He don't go pack up and leave and say, hey, hang around that scoundrel. Dear Lord, we're getting out of town. He's still there. His mercy and kindness is still there. He changes not. Say, well, I just don't feel right about it. I don't care how I feel. I want to know what the Bible says about it. If the Bible says he's here, then he's here. As I've told you the story, you know, when I was first born again, I went to a wedding and we went to a church, and I'm going to tell you what, it was just, I was listening to this minister and I was talking at the wedding, and I thought, dear Lord, these people ain't got a clue about God. This is just religious junk going on here. And I remember sitting there, and I was just a young Christian. I was only born again in a couple months. And I sat there in that church, and I said, God, have you ever been in this place? Have you ever been in? And just as clear, it rose up inside of me, you're here. Man, that was a revelation to me. When I was there, God was there. Oh, when I'm there, God's there. We ain't trying to get God to get anywhere. God's here. God's healing power is everywhere. It's we're hooking up to it. You know, just no matter how much electric there is in this place, if you don't hook up to it, it don't do nothing. No matter how much it is around us. It's a matter of hooking up to the electricity that's already here, that's in this building, electricity. Do you ever think about electricity's in the air around us? Electricity wasn't invented by men. Men learned how to use it. It was already here. It was already here. And they found out how to use it. God wants the church to know how to use the anointing. how to cooperate with it. Why? Because it's here. The Bible says this, you have an anointing from the Holy One. He didn't say you're going to get one, you got one. Now, I know there's different anointings come on things, but I'll tell you, we have an anointing from the Holy One. Now, I want you to understand this, the fact that we do have an anointing. If the healing anointing is not always present, if it's not always present, if the power of God to heal isn't always present, then we would have something to say here concerning Jesus. In Mark 16, I want you to see what Jesus made us at. Mark 16. Jesus is going to be leaving, going sitting at the right hand of the Father. Really, what he's doing is he is delegating the authority of the church to these disciples. And he said to these disciples in verse 15, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now he says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. These signs will follow those who believe. And see, this is misread so much. Well, they think, well, this was for the disciples. No, it wasn't. This is for you. He didn't say, go preach the gospel and these signs will follow you. He said, these signs follow those who believe. How many believers do we have here today? I'm a believer. He said these signs follow the believer. The guys who believe the gospel that these apostles preach. These signs are for us. Jesus delegated them to you. Oh, all kind of people are trying to get gifts from God. My words, why don't you use the ones the Bible say you got? What do you already get? Quit asking him for what he gave you. People say, I want a healing ministry. Dear Lord, God gave the church one 2,000 years ago. Let's pick it up. Let's pick a thing up and quit. Why sit and praying? Why waste your time praying for what you already have? You find that's the wonders of the scripture. We find out what we have and say, glory to God, I believe that's mine. No, instead we pray trying to get it. Hey, there's things you need to pray about. But there's many things we don't need to pray about. We need to believe. Hallelujah. And I want you to believe these things. This is what he said. Now, these signs will follow in my name. He said, they will cast out devils. See, you don't need to get a special anointing to cast out devils. Hallelujah. You have authority over Satan in the name of Jesus. You're a believer. Hallelujah. You're a believer in Jesus' name will make the devil leave for you as quick as it will for anybody. Hallelujah. The devil messes with you, messes with somebody you know, deal with it. So they'll speak in new tongues, but I want to get to this. They will cast out, they will take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. What are they going to do? They'll lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Now, I want you to get this. He said, for the these ones come along, we would turn on these ones that the signs will follow, the ones who believe what these gentlemen preached, which Jesus commanded them to go preach. We believe that. It says they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Now, does it tell us to pray for a healing anointing? Does it tell us to ask for something special? No, it says in the name of Jesus, we lay hands on the sick. Well, we couldn't lay hands on the sick if the healing anointing, we don't know if it's there or not. You'd have to get a sign from heaven that it's there. What are you going to wait for to do to find out if it's there? Jesus seemed to be just saying, when you go do this, it's there. When you lay hands on the sick. See, this is one of the things, many times we're laying hands on sick, on people, and not really sharing the word with them to bring them to any kind of faith, to receive anything. We're just, well, they want to get well. Well, that's nice to want to get well, but I live in a world where there's billions of people that want to get well that ain't getting well. And is it because God don't want to heal? No, he wants to heal. But you know, we need to tell people, you know what? God, did you ever tell somebody God commissioned you to lay hands on the sick? Jesus Christ himself did? See, most people think, well, I don't know if I'd want to say that, what they might think of me. Personally, don't come to me and ask me to pray for you if I can't say what the Bible says about me. Then go do something else and go to some religious person that can't do nothing. The church needs to stand up, act like they got something. You got something. Hallelujah. I have been commissioned by Jesus Christ to lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Now, if a person believes that, see, it's just like people think, well, Kenneth Hagin made that statement about the anointing in his hands. Jesus said, I could lay hands on the sick and they recovered, and we're supposed to tell people that. I've been commissioned by Jesus Christ to lay hands on the sick. Did Jesus appear to me? No, I read the book. I don't need, if he wants to some special anointing, he's allowed to do that. But until he does that, I can go by the book. and just walk by the book. If he tells me anything else, I'll tell people that, whatever it might be. But let's walk in line with the book. Every one of you here has the authority in the name of Jesus. There's nobody has a more special handle on the name of Jesus. The authority in the name of Jesus will heal the sick. The authority in the name of Jesus. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. We can tell people, you know, here's what the scripture says. You know, if you believe that I can lay hands on you and you'll recover, you will. Well, I don't know if we ought to say that. Well, I know it's the Bible. Maybe we could keep pretty silent about that one. We're not going to keep silent about the Bible. You tell them. If people will believe it, it'll work. Let them know. You know, this world is waiting for somebody that knows God, and they're fed up with religious people up to here with their junk, always trying to be humble, acting like they're nothing. I'm not nothing. Jesus took a nothing and made it into something. Hallelujah. And I represent the God of heaven. Hallelujah. I'm his ambassador. The Bible says so. You don't want no wimpy ambassador. The church is full of backslidden, wimpy ambassadors acting like they got something. You don't have nothing. Hallelujah. We're standing up for Jesus. Glory to God. Our Jesus is a healer. He ain't killing people. The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus came to bring life to this stupid earth. The only thing he's ever done for me was give me life. My words, if anybody deserved death, it was me. Well, I should have sure got it if he was handing it out. But he didn't hand it out. He gave me life. Hallelujah. Now let's get over and start preaching that life. And you have it. You're not trying to get it. It was already given to you. Something you got. Hallelujah. I've had over the years, many times, people call me and ask me, you know, pray for somebody. I've asked people, why don't you? Well, you're a minister. And I know this, their lack of faith. They don't believe they got it. They don't believe they have it. Well, as long as you don't believe you have it and you believe somebody else got it, it's always going to be that way. You're going to always be wanting somebody else to do and feeling you're inferior, like God didn't give you something. I'm going to tell you, God has blessed you. Jesus, the Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians that God blessed you with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. He didn't say he blessed you with a couple. Every spiritual blessing the church has already been blessed with. You and I are supposed to be going to the Bible to find out what they are. Instead, the church is walking around trying to get blessed. Praying. I've had Christians go, pray for me for a blessing. Well, what am I going to give you? You already got it all. What am I going to give you? You know, God's already blessed you with everything he can. What do you want? And what they don't know is what they need to do. I'm not just knocking them. They've been trained religiously to do this kind of stuff. They've been trained to go over there, you know, and try to, you know, get something like God's holding out. God has never held out to the church. That's the wonder. I'll tell you what. He's fantastic. He's phenomenal. He's incredible. It boggles my mind how good he is to us. It boggles my mind of what he has offered. I really think because the offering of so much in the scripture shows of his goodness, I believe men just generally look at it, and even ministers look in the Bible, and they can hardly believe it's true, so they come up with another idea. Well, how could he wouldn't do that for us? So let's figure something else out here, you know. It can't be that good. I'm sorry. I believe it's better than I even know. I believe it's far beyond. Hallelujah. The word says he'd do exceedingly abundantly above what I can imagine or think according to the power that's working in me. Glory to God. Exceedingly abundantly above. Dear Lord. Hallelujah. What a good God we have. The healing anointing is present. God. You know, you might sit here and say, I don't feel like the anointing. I don't feel like, you know, I've laid hands. I want you to understand something. Now, I've been a Christian for over 35 years now. I've been walking along in this life. And, well, in fact, 37 years. But in this life and this walk that I'm in, I have learned some things about the anointing and operating under the anointing. And I can tell you this truthfully. Probably a good 75 to 80% of the time when I minister, whether it's healing or whatever it is, I don't get any sense of anointing on me. And I can tell you this truthfully. I've had as many people healed with no sense of the anointing as I've had with a sense of the anointing on me. See, one of the things that you guys notice and you just think, well, he's just talking again. Whenever we come up to pray for the sick, you'll notice I always go through a thing of sharing stuff in the Word. What we're going to do in ministry. See, I want people to get in faith. I don't care how much the anointing's here. If you're not in faith, it ain't working. Now, I've noticed this over the years. Many times I have no sense of the anointing at all, and I'll ask people if they want to be prayed for sickness. Because one of the things, I know the presence of God is here. I know by faith we can receive it. We can have it. It's here. We can hook up to it. I know that. Now, many times what happens is this. When I lay hands on people, all of a sudden I feel power go out of me. Now, I had no sense of that power at all. You know, when Jesus was walking down the street with the woman with the issue of blood, he didn't have no sense of power in him when he was walking down. He didn't feel electrified when he walked down the street. He was a man walking down the street. He was God living like a man in the earth. And you know what? When that woman touched him, she touched him by faith. We know this. The rest of the multitude was faithless. Because they were thronging him and power wasn't going out. They didn't believe the power was there. They were trying to get him to heal them. All the time the healing anointing was there, she came by faith and he said, power went out of me. I've had that happen so many times where power's going out of me. I lay hands on people. I can tell this. I can tell sometimes people's level of faith where they're at. Because sometimes I can feel more power go out of me. In the same healing line, more power will go out of me to one person than it does to another. Because it'll go to the level of faith that the person has. Sometimes I don't get any sense of anything going anywhere. Now that doesn't mean nothing ever happened. Things can still happen. I've had things, like I told you, the guy years ago, when he came and asked me after a service, he had come to our church. It was the first time he was ever there. He came and asked me to pray for him after the service is over. And he had had his back, his vertebrae were welded, and he had a rod in his back. And he said he wasn't allowed to pick up over 5 pounds or something, and he couldn't bend over and stuff because of that in his back. And he asked me if I'd pray for him. No sense of the anointing on me at all. And I said, well, sure. I said, we'd pray for you. And because his back was causing him problems and things, and I laid hands on him and prayed for him. Didn't get a sense of anything. I'm going to tell you what, if anybody said anything happened, I said, well, no, God probably left town or something, because didn't feel nothing. I didn't feel anything. But, you know, I just acted in faith. The Lord told me to lay hands on the sick and they recover. And I'll never forget this. 2 o'clock in the afternoon, 2 o'clock, I got a phone call from this guy. And this guy said he was doing something. He was carrying something. He fell on the floor. He said, and I don't know what happened. He said, I didn't think about it. I bent over and picked it up. And he said, when I did that, I realized I bent over. Well, he said, I can't bend over. And he bent over. He went to the doctor and found out his welded vertebrae weren't welded no more. And the rod was gone. Had an absolute miracle take place. Didn't feel a thing. The whole church today wants a feeling. You know, you want to get some feelings for God, start acting in faith, and you'll get some real feelings. But we're putting our feelings up on the front side, the front burner of the thing, trying to have the feeling because we won't believe nothing till we feel something. Till we feel something. Kenneth E. Hagin said this, before he was baptized with the Holy Ghost, he was a Baptist pastor. He said, in my church, we had more people healed than the Pentecostal people healed. Because he said, I didn't know about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. But he said, God had taught me about faith and healing, and I taught my people faith, and they knew how to get healed by faith. And he said, our church had much more healing than the Pentecostals did. Because they could only believe if the healing anointing was in manifestation. If it wasn't in manifestation, they never used faith to pray anything. In other words, gifts of the Spirit would go into operation. That's the only way they could get it. I'm going to tell you, you're limited if it's like that. The glory of faith. Faith is the highest level. Gifts of the Spirit are not. Gifts of the Spirit are a lower level. Now, thank God for them. Oh, they're wonderful. I'll tell you what, I don't know how anybody ever stands in the office of a pastor without the gift of the working of the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom. I don't see how you operate without that. I think you're pretty much on your own. Those things operate and work, and you want those. But I want you to get across the fact that we even though they had those things, but he taught his people faith. And faith, you can take a hold of the things of God anytime you want to. You don't have to wait. The gifts of the Spirit, if you go over and read it, says they operate as the Spirit wills. They're not going to be in manifestation all the time. But you know what? Faith can hook up to the healing anointing anytime. It can hook up. The presence of God anytime. Anytime it can connect to it. And see, this is the wonder. When I found those things out as a young Christian, I decided I was going to develop my faith to trust the Word of God. And when God said something, I was going to walk in line with what He was saying. I was going to hook up with that. Because I tell you, most of the time I find out I'm in a position where there, man, I don't have time to run to somebody else. You don't always have time to do that. You got to deal with it where you're at. And that's what you want to do. Deal with it where you're at. Stand in faith. Your faith will work. Faith is not a hard thing to do. You know, in Hebrews 11, verse 1, faith is a substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. See, that's when you get over into the seen realm. The seen realm will always keep you away from faith. Everybody's always looking to seen realm to see what's going on. And then if I see what, then, well, is God moving? Like over the years, I've had, you know, over the years in church and people in ministry, whether it's in Bible school, what I taught and all this kind of stuff. No matter what you're doing, people are always coming along and they're assessing whether God's there by what they see. And I always know, you got a problem. You've got a problem. The Word is true anywhere. I don't care where you go. I don't care if the devil gets some weirdo people to go dig a hole, put you down in a dungeon somewhere. The Word of God is the same in that dungeon. The Word of God changes. The presence of God does not show up there because it's too deep and too hidden for you. The Word of God works in all those places. Faith works. It's just the Apostle Paul, when you sit down and take the letter to the church at Ephesus, he wrote that in prison. Dear God, you talk about a revelation came out of prison. The devil should have never locked him up. He was a stupid idiot. Because he wrote four letters out of prison that are really the foundation of a lot of what the church stands on. Hallelujah. He never locked the gospel up. He couldn't lock the Word of God. You can't lock the Word of God up. You can stand on the Word of God anywhere. God is present everywhere. The Word of God, hallelujah, the Holy Spirit in you, the Holy Spirit's whole purpose is to take what belongs to Jesus and reveal it to you. That's His whole purpose. There's nothing hidden for us. I can be put anywhere, and the Holy Spirit will minister Jesus Christ to me, will reveal Jesus Christ to me, no matter where I'm at or what's going on. The presence of God is always there. Jesus is God the last time I checked. The Holy Spirit's God the last time I checked. Hallelujah. And they're in me all the time. People say the Holy Spirit's the power of God, and the church is in a search for power. What on earth are we doing? How could you get more than the Holy Ghost in you? Just think, the Holy Spirit lives in us, and we need power. We need good sense. We need good sense. The Holy Ghost. What I need to learn to do is how to hook up with the power that's in me. That's what I need to learn. Man, I'm still learning about it. I have not arrived. Man, I'm still in a search. I'm still in a search. Hallelujah. But see, the search leads to where you begin to see things and understand things. The search and hooking up with the Holy Spirit bypasses religion and takes you to the truth. Because the truth is what makes men free. Amen. We're not trying to go through rituals. That doesn't mean everything that people do in rituals is bad to do. But I want to tell you, we put more importance in our stuff that we do than in the Word of God. The Word's right. Did you ever think about the Pharisees were the Word people of the day? They knew the Word inside out. But you know what? They had no spirit. And I'm going to tell you, know the Bible and be as dead as a doornail. It's the Holy Ghost. I wouldn't know what to do without the Holy Ghost. Don't ask me to preach without the Holy Ghost. You wouldn't like it at all. I'd just have to, you know, I'd have to do what a lot of these ministers do. I'd have to buy those books and have your whole sermons for the whole year given out for you to preach so you could get up and follow through with them. I get those things in the mail all the time. You don't know, these are your whole sermons. You can buy this and all your sermons for the year. I would have think God wanted to, might want to say something sometime on his own. He'd like to get something through. You know, I come up with wonderful intents of things that I want to preach and teach and get in the pulpit and find out we ain't going there. But the whole thing was, I've learned over time, let him talk. That's how I've learned. I've had my plans sometimes and have stuck to them and it's caused me problems. But you get over there and flow with the Holy Ghost and let him start to take what he sees and understands. He sees beyond me. He understands beyond me. And where I want to get to, he can take me if I let him. And he's going to take you. Hallelujah. You're here because you want to go somewhere. You're here because you're not happy where you are. You want more. I don't know about you. I'm not satisfied. The more I learn about God, the more dissatisfied I become about where I'm at. I thank God for all he teaches me. But I've said this many times, the more he teaches me, the more questions I have. The more I see that I don't know. The more that I understand there's things to step into. And I'll tell you what, I'm staying after this thing. I'll tell you, I'm a student of the Word of God, and I will be till Jesus takes me off this earth. And if I get to heaven, those words are still true. They're eternal. They'll be using them there too. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So let's walk in the truth. Let's get it. I pray that you get it in. Become conscious. Become conscious. On the inside of you, your own human spirit knows the presence of God. It knows it. We shield it by our unrenewed mind and letting our bodies many times do what it wants. Let what's on the inside of you become the dominant thing about the outside. The Holy Ghost is in you. The power of God lives in you. And that power of God wants to manifest the ministry of Jesus. Like the Lord told me many years ago, he said, you want to see what I want to do, he said, in ministry? He said, what did I do most of all, he said, in my ministry? Teach and heal. He said, that's what I want to do. I want to teach and heal. I want to teach people so they know me. I want to teach people. I want the healing power. I want to heal. Jesus constantly healed, healed, healed. Healing is a huge emphasis of Jesus Christ. And the more I've hooked up to the Holy Spirit, the more I realize these last days. See, healing's the dinner bell. The healing is the dinner bell. The church operates in the healing power of God, and you watch people come into the kingdom. We're living in a nation that is becoming bankrupt trying to get healing. All of our ideas about healing, and God has free healing, and the church is even chasing the world's healing. They chase it, chase it, chase it, chase it, chase it. God wants you to keep some money in your pocket. God wants to bless you. God, that's the desire of God. So we need to come back where that comes to the forefront. I'm not against doctors, but I'm going to tell you what. We're spending too much money at this stuff. There's too much sickness is going wrong, too much sickness out of too much of the church acting like God's involved in this stuff. And he's making people sick to teach them something. Dear Lord, every time I've met a person ever said God made them sick to teach them something, I ask them what they learned. Never one time. Never one time did they ever tell me what they learned. Well, I'm learning humility. Well, humbling to who? Humbling the doctor? You run to the doctor all the time? My God, that's the only guy you humble to. Hold it. Let's get this stuff straight in our minds. God's a wonderful teacher. He never tried to ever teach me anything and I couldn't figure out what it was. That's a pretty lousy teacher that teaches and nobody understands. Why would somebody go back? If you went to school and never learned nothing, somebody ought to close the door of the place. Dear Lord, you'd think heaven would be shut down. No, I'm going to tell you, God's teaching. Faith is something that's simple. It's not hard to trust God. You can trust God today. You can trust God today. You and I have a choice. Is the word true? We don't have to sit down. You can analyze or do anything. You can sit down and decide the word's true. See, one of the big things, if really the success of building faith, is looking at the Word of God. I don't care if I don't understand what it's saying. It's true. I will just have to get my understanding in line with it. See, most people are just trying to decide whether they even want to believe it's true. Well, you know, I don't understand it, so I'm not sure about it. Hold it. I don't care if I understand it. It's true. It's in the scriptures. It's true. And I'm going to line up my thinking with it. It's true. I don't care if I say somebody, I don't understand what that means, but it's true nonetheless. And until I'll come to revelation. But I can't sit around and look at it, well, trying to figure out what I do, you know, with it. We so easily believe other people. We so turn on a TV, doing this, now somebody says something, well, then it's so. Listen on the radio, somebody says something, then it's so. Don't ever check out. Don't ever try to find out if it's true. No, it's so. Well, they said. And you look what the Bible said. Well, it's hard to believe the word. It's hard. Well, Bible says, Jesus said this, you're going to have what you say. You keep saying it's hard to have faith, you're going to always have a hard time with faith. It's not hard to have faith. Why would God make it hard for you to try to serve Him and walk with Him? What purpose would be in that? And then turn around and write letters about it. Well, if you do stuff wrong, you know, it causes you trouble. And He's the one causing the trouble. God's not causing the trouble. Faith is an easy thing. In fact, the Bible tells you to have faith like a child. Which means this. Most Americans are too educated to have any faith. Got our reasoning. We're always reasoning everything. Always reasoning everything. Always trying to look for another opinion. Always trying to find another thing. I've gotten more narrow in my old age than what I look to. I don't read many books and other people's stuff and things. I spend a lot of time in the Bible. That's my main book. I don't need any help getting off course. There's enough out there involuntarily that goes on. And it's not that people don't have good things out here they can say. I hate to have to sift through a lot of this stuff. I don't need it. I don't buy the next great book coming out. I found out over the years most of them, the only thing they were good for was burning. The next great book was going to change and revolutionize the church. You look over the last 20 years, the books that were supposed to really revolutionize the church, see how much revolutionary now has come in. It's led to a lot of the junk we got today. A lot of full of men's ideas. Just because somebody uses a scripture don't mean they got a revelation. Many times people use scripture to try to push their own ideas. You know, you can twist the Bible to make it say anything you want. We're not going to do that. I want to know what God's saying. Yesterday, while I was meditating on some of these things, the Lord spoke to me that later on in the day. I just go around, I was meditating on these things about speaking to this morning and looking at scriptures and things and just praying in the Holy Ghost. And I began to speak in tongues and interpreted the tongues. And God, His whole plan and purpose in these last days is a lot of just simplicity. He wants us to believe. Just like with, you know, read it. We read Mark 16. Lay hands on the sick and recover. Believing that the presence of God is here. Believing that it's there. See, getting in ourselves. See, we don't have any confidence to tell people these things if we ourselves are questioning. If I'm afraid to say to somebody else what I believe, that means I don't have much believing in that. I get pretty stubborn about what I believe. It's like, I found out you can't go nowhere if you don't. Your faith don't work if you don't. You got to get stubborn. Like, people don't like the faith. I'm sorry. I can tell people, I can fight with them. I say, well, I've been ministers already. So yeah, you can believe that if you want to. Bible says this. This is the direction I'm going. Whatever you want to do, you know, you go ahead. I won't be on the trip with you. But you go ahead. You're allowed to. God allows you to believe anything you want. You're allowed to. You have a free will. He ain't going to force you to follow Him and follow the Bible. And when I found out something's true and it works, don't come to me with a better idea. I haven't found a better idea in the Bible. Most Christians don't need a new revelation. They just need a revelation on what they have heard from the Bible. There's much coming out today called new revelation, and it ain't God. When Christians can't live a Christian life without living in sin all the time, they don't need a new revelation. Other than they need to go back to being saved again. They need somebody in the church. Paul told Timothy he needed a rebuke. We don't have pastors rebuke anymore. They're gone. They're all trying to keep their congregations and keep their money rolling in so they can keep feeding the poor. Keep them in sin too. You know, we're feeding the sinners and they don't even have to come to church anymore. They can just go out and live like hell all they want, and we'll help them spend money, and we'll spend money to keep them in their sin. We're helping people. I'll tell you what, we're so good. It's amazing how good we are. We demand nothing out of anybody. We don't demand anything of the church. Paul said the church at Corinth, don't you have anybody here who could judge? The church don't today. They don't have it. Judge not, judge not, judge not. Sin runs rampant in the church. Sin run rampant in the church, not supposed to. Paul said a little leaven leavens a whole lump. It's because the leaders haven't stood up and put the end to this stuff. You want to live in sin? I just want you to know this. Go to another church. There's plenty of them in town that let you do that. I know you guys don't come here because you want to live in sin. But I'll tell you what, there's people, and that's what they want, Christianity. They live in sin. Don't come here. I'm going to deal with it. We have a bunch of people living in sin. We have a bunch of people sitting around, you know, homosexuals, lesbians, and fornicators, and adulterers, and saying, yeah, Jesus loves you. That's right. Jesus does love you. But if you call yourself a Christian, Paul said you're not even supposed to eat with them. That's the Bible. See, if we don't deal with these things, we don't deal. See, you got to get over believing the simplicity of the Word. The Word says something, it's true. See, you can't have faith in a pick-and-choose Bible. It demolishes faith. Don't demolish your faith. Paul said, if you have a so-called brother, once somebody calls himself a Christian, I, as a Christian, have a right to demand that certain things they do not do. And you do too. The pastor of the largest church in America said some of his best friends are homosexuals. I would never darken the door of his church. His best friends are homosexuals? Jesus ate with sinners. They weren't his best friends. I know who his best friends were. There was those disciples. They were his best friends. There was people who walked after him and followed him and followed his teaching. We got such a messed up Christianity that sin can just run rampant and do anything it wants. And it comes and destroys the good people, and the shepherds don't even care. I'm going to tell you what. I believe in killing wolves. Wolves come in to devour the flock, and the devil has sent them into the church. And the shepherds have given them the rod to say, here, you go ahead and use it. It's like the Lord told me. I've dealt with the church to get sin out of the church, and the church has made ministries to the people who live in sin. Oh, we're trying to get them straight. We're just trying to. It isn't getting anything straightened out. You ask people, you asked a drunk Christian, he's a drunkard. You tell him he either quits drinking. If he don't, you love him, but you ain't going to eat with him anymore. Paul said so. See, I can't quit. Sure you can. If you have to lock yourself in some place where you can't get at it, then that's what you do. But I'll find out how quickly a person wants to change. But we've been preached to us in the church, it's been preached, you're just going to sin. The Bible tells us I've been delivered from sin. That sin wouldn't rule over me anymore. The church has preached sin is the norm. We're just going to sin. No, you're not. Do you just go out and sin? I hope you don't follow that kind of teaching. But I've heard minister after minister say, well, we're just going to sin. Man, that's all I need to do is get thinking like that. I'm just going to go sin. Jesus Christ ain't big enough to keep me out of sin. All he did on the cross wasn't near as good as they said. See, you wonder why people are faithless? Because they have been preached out of them. Faith has been preached out of them instead of into them. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet. You're children of God. Amen. You're saints of God. You're a saint today. Just think about it. You're a saint of God. You became a saint of God the day that you were born again. You don't have to get some group to elect whether or not you're a saint. You're a saint of God. You become set apart by God. That's who you are. That's what you are today. You're set apart by God. God made you holy. You didn't get born again and, well, let's skip the holiness part. You didn't get that. No, you're holy. He's made you righteous. Phenomenal. Righteous. Not just made you righteous on the base of whether you do wrong or not. You've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I want you to think about today, you're as righteous as God. God said so. If he gave you his righteousness, and it's his, then I must be as righteous as he is, or it wasn't his righteousness. Now, most people think we got some lower form. No, we didn't. See, I know these things get mind-boggling in people's mind. How can that be? Because, see, we've been taught this, oh, you got to be humble. You can't think like that. The victory in Christianity is thinking like that. God's gift to you today is so great, so beyond what you could ever deserve or supposed to have. It is so great, so super beyond that. That's why he can do through you exceedingly abundantly above what you imagine or think. It's because of what he made you. It's not because what you made you. When you miss the mark, you don't become unrighteous. You might do an unrighteous act, but you don't become unrighteous. You're not unrighteous. 99.9% of the times when a Christian sins, it isn't now their spirit. They do it in their flesh. They did it in their flesh. And their heart's condemning them for it the whole time. That's the glory of the new birth. Inside of me is this wonderful spirit in here that when I get out of line, it reminds me. God don't have to tell me I'm doing wrong. My own spirit will tell me. My old conscience will say, knock it off, Ed. Don't do that. You've all had that. That's because you don't have the sin nature anymore. Your spirit has the nature of God. It's clean and holy. It wants to follow God. It wants to go after God. It's not after sin. And when we get out of line and we think wrong and do that, it reminds us, thank God for that. I just always look at it. There's this alarm that lives in me, my own human spirit. And when I get out of line, it rings good to awaken me. And that's what it's doing in you today. And this is what God's gave you today. This is what God gave you. See, if anybody deserved healing, you deserve healing. Why, you're righteous. You know, you deserve it. See, don't look at it. You don't deserve it because of physical things you've done right or anything. That's why you deserve it. You're in the covenant. It's part of the inheritance. You inherited it. You're not going to inherit healing. You've already inherited it. You're not going to inherit salvation. You already got it. This is in the inheritance. When you became a child of God, you inherited every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. That was in your inheritance. Today, if you need healing in this place, the healing power of God, the anointing is present right now. It's present right here. I mean, just think about that. It's present. Gee, am I good enough? Yeah, it's present whether you think you're good enough or not. It's here. It changes not. It's here. See, in your physical body, it's here. Just think about it. God has his healing power everywhere. It's everywhere. It's around you. And what do? We hook up with it by faith. See, it's number one, you got to believe it's here. Most of the time we've been taught, try to get it here. No, it is here. Hallelujah. And the first thing to do is to believe it's here. Hallelujah, it's here. Would he make it hard for you to get it? Why put it here if it's hard to get? Sort of like teasing somebody for something you're never going to get. That's not my God. He never does that. It's here right now. Jesus said, when you pray, believe that you receive it and you'll have it. He said, your job is this, is you believe that you receive that healing power right now. You believe you receive it. Your job is to believe that he gave it to you. And you take it. It's mine now. Belongs to me. That healing power belongs to me. See, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He's quickening your mortal body. He's there quickening your mind. Receive it as true. Hallelujah. It's true. It's in me right now. Right now. I have received the healing power of God. The healing power of God's in my working in me right now. I received it. Now, you know what you're supposed to do? Now, this is really difficult. Just keep believing that. And he said, if you believe it, you'll have it. In other words, it's going to show up. Your job is to believe you have it. Quit trying to get it. If you're going on and keep trying to get it after a while, you just left that part of having. What I already have, you know, I got an inheritance. My wife and I got an inheritance from an individual who passed away. And we got an inheritance. And we got that inheritance. You know what I had to do to get that inheritance? I had to sign some papers. And they gave it to me. I didn't have to give it to me. They gave it to me. They gave me the inheritance. The inheritance came. It was my inheritance. Healing is in the inheritance of the church. You're not trying to get it. It was given. Your faith is the signature. To say, I'm taking that. That's mine. See, years ago, I took healing as mine. It's in my inheritance. I can grab it any time I need it. Just like the money that came to us in inheritance. That's our money. I don't have to go back and ask somebody else for that money. It's in account. It's there. My healing is always, anytime I want it, just, it's right there. It's right there. See, doesn't that take a lot of pressure off of you? Doesn't it take pressure off of you? That's what God wants. God don't want you. You have enough pressure in your life. You don't need more pressure. Hallelujah. It's right here for you right now. Right now. It's here. All you got to do is receive it, and he'll make sure it shows up. I go online and I order something, and you know what? I ordered, I pay for it, run around telling people I bought such and such, and I haven't even seen it yet. But you know what? It's their job to put it in the mail and send it to me. God, it's his job to bring it to pass in you. He will do that if you just do the right ordering by saying, I believe I receive it. It's mine. I have it. That's all it is. My job isn't to try to go. I don't run to the company to see if they put it in the mail to send it out. And I don't do none of that. Because then why? It's not my job. Quit doing God's job. Quit trying to heal yourself. Oh, hallelujah. Father, I pray for these people this morning. These are yours. They are bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. They belong to you. They don't belong to somebody else. They're yours. And all the wonderful glory that you gave to them, Lord God. Oh, Lord God, you look at them and Lord God, they're your precious jewels. Lord God, they're the ones you called out of darkness into your marvelous light. Lord, they're the ones that you want to spend eternity with. That's who they are. And Lord God, you love them. You love them. And Lord God, if anybody's going to pour out the best to them, it's you. You've done it through Christ Jesus. Lord, there's been so much have stood in the way. But Lord God, I'm going to thank you that the barriers are going to be torn down in these last days. And the glorious church is going to rise up. A people of simple faith in God. Hallelujah. And to receive the goodness. And I thank you today, Lord God, they're taking a hold. They're taking a hold today in the name of Jesus. I thank you sickness and disease is leaving bodies today in the name of Jesus Christ. It must bow. Devil, your sickness and disease, the perversion you brought into this earth, it is not theirs. They do not have to tolerate it nor put up with it. And in the name of Jesus, I bind his operations. Devil, I command you to cease and desist against the minds of the church of Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord God, that in the name of Jesus, that I can take my authority. And devil, I'm telling you right now, I bind you from coming against their minds, bringing thoughts of unworthiness, thoughts of the mistakes of the past. We bind those thoughts in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The thoughts of what others have done and others have said. We bind those thoughts in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're evil. They're devilish. They keep people from faith. Devil, we're not going to allow that. You have no right. This is the church of Jesus Christ. These people are washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have no place in them. You have no place in them. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you, devil, you get your hands off of their finances in the name of Jesus. You get your hands off of their money. You get your hands off of their bodies in the name of Jesus. This is the church of Jesus Christ. This is God's very own inheritance. Hallelujah. And I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father God, that they're blessed coming in, going out. They're blessed, Lord God. They're in the head. They're not the tail. They're above and they're not beneath. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord God, wisdom flows to them like a river. Hallelujah. Understanding and comprehension. Lord God, their minds are not bogged down with all kind of crazy thoughts. I thank you, Lord God, they have the mind of Christ. I thank you, Lord God, they can think clearly, walk clearly in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father God, Lord God, you're setting these people up higher today. Lord, you're taking them to a higher place and to a higher walk today in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you, Father God. Lord God, the anointing that's on my life, Lord God, is grabbing a hold of them. Hallelujah. And they're taking part of that anointing, Lord God, in their life. Just as it's taken me higher, it's taking them higher in the name of Jesus. We're walking together. We're walking together in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The anointing is destroying every yoke of bondage in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. This is the church of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus is the head of these people, amen. Not you, devil. Amen. Bow in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord God, for freedom. Lord God, I thank you that there's rest right now. There is rest, Lord. Some have been weary, but I thank you, Lord God, there's a new energy and a new rest that's rolling into their life today in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I thank you. There's refreshing. There's refreshing flowing today. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord God, no matter what's going on outside and in this world, Lord God, in the church, the glory of God's being revealed. In the church of Jesus Christ, in your people, hallelujah. They are temples of the living God. Hallelujah. Oh, I thank you. Heavenly life is flowing. Heavenly life is flowing mightily today in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, thank you, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God. Oh, Lord God. Oh, Lord God. Oh, I know that. Yeah, there's ones in here. I'll tell you, in a short period of time, you're going to notice a huge change. You're going to notice a huge change. Hallelujah. You're going to notice a huge change. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Not because we're so bright. It's God's anointing working in the church. Hallelujah. God's going to bring us to the place. All we got to do is be willing to go on the ride, and we're willing to go on the ride. And He's going to take us there. He's going to take us to the place we desire to walk. He's going to bring us there. We can't get there without the anointing. If the anointing don't work, we can't go there. We don't go there by our wisdom. Hallelujah. He's taking us there. He's taking this there. Hallelujah. There's going to be an increase in the anointing. Hallelujah. The increased. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You're going to find yourself just in the areas of understanding and comprehending the Word of God. You're going to see a renewing in yourself. You're going to stop and say, well, why didn't I see this stuff before? Well, I'll tell you why. Because there's a stronger anointing now. That anointing opens up the eyes. Hallelujah. It breaks and destroys yokes of bondage. Hallelujah. The anointing. Hallelujah. See, if anything the church needs is a greater anointing. We need a greater anointing in the church. We need greater anointings on our life. And God's in the business. We're in the day of that time. Hallelujah. The increase of the anointing. Hallelujah. The increase of the anointing. That's what this year is about. This year is going to be an increase in the anointing of God in people's lives. That's what it's going to be. Hallelujah. We're going to take a hold of things. There's some things that really have slipped by in the past. And I used to walk in, I'm going back and picking them up. I'm going to pick them up and walk in them again. We've lost some things. It's just like Joshua and Caleb. They had to go out in the desert with the rest of that bunch of people who wouldn't follow God. But I tell you what, when they came into the land, they were walking in the anointing that they had from the first time that they were there. And I want to tell you what, the church has been in America has went into the wilderness for a number of years now. But I'm going to tell you what, there's a group in the church. There's a remnant of the church that's walking out in this last day, and we're coming up on the land. We're coming up on the land, people. I'm speaking by the Spirit of God. We're coming up on the land. And we come out, there's none of me, nothing lacking among us. Hallelujah. We're coming out under the anointing of God. Not man's anointing, not man's wisdom. God is anointing His people in these last days. He's going to do what no man can do. He's making us into something we could have never made of ourselves. Hallelujah. He's working just because we're asking Him to. Hallelujah. And He is doing it. We're after Him. We're seeking and we're finding. We're knocking and He's kicking doors down. Hallelujah. For us to see and understand. Glory to God. I tell you, there's a flow of the anointing here today. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. God loves His church. He loves His church. And it breaks His heart that so many have gotten off track. It breaks His heart. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm so glad you're hungry and you want to preach to. I'm so glad that you're thirsting. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I thank You here today. Lord God, there's it sure is by our wisdom and our understanding. But Lord God, Your anointing is flowing. It's You working in this people. And a great people they are. Lord God, they're geniuses because they were smart enough to accept Your Son Jesus. Oh, I know many wouldn't think that'd be so bright. Oh, but Lord God, they're the geniuses. Hallelujah. Lord God, they've humbled themselves to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they've allowed Jesus to lord over their lives. And I want to thank You, Father God. The good work that You started in them, You're going to bring it to completion. Lord, I thank You 2018 is a great step. Is a great step. A great step of promotion in the area of the anointing. A great step, hallelujah, of this year of the anointing. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Manifestations of God's glory, demonstrations of God's Spirit will become the norm. They're going to become the norm. Hallelujah. They're not going to be things that people want to see happen, but they will become the norm through You. They will become the norm through You. Hallelujah. God will anoint His people. Hallelujah. He will anoint His people and demonstrate His glory. Hallelujah. Why not you? You are His vessel. Why not you? Hallelujah. Oh, you don't have to wait to become some great something office. Hallelujah. Why not you? You're His today. You belong to Him. You're His anointed. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. Father, hallelujah. Lord God, we're stepping into a week of glory. We're stepping into a week this way, Lord God, on a new path. I just keep getting a sense. There's been a rise of things here today. I just get a sense, Lord God. Hallelujah. There's a rise in things today. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord God, this year, glory to God. Lord, it's a big step. It's a big step. And You're going to take it. You're going to take us on this big step. Hallelujah. Oh, we're going to see many things we long to see. We're going to hear many things we've longed to hear. We're going to know many things we've longed to know. Hallelujah. Is this year. The anointing is increasing. It will change many things. Many, many things. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Lord, as we go, we're just saying thank You to You. We just appreciate so much. Lord, we don't take it to ourselves at all that we deserve any of this. We don't take it. We know we didn't. We didn't earn or work to do it. Hallelujah. We just learned to cooperate with You and You're working in us. And I just want to let You know how much I appreciate that. Lord, thank You for letting me have a small part in Your kingdom. I just appreciate so much, Lord God, that You would anoint me to preach Your word. What a wonderful... Who could ask for a better job, Lord, is to speak Your words. I wouldn't have chose me for this job, but You did and You anointed me and it's been Your work. It's been Your work and you've done well. You've done well and I thank You for it. Hallelujah. And just in the same way, Lord God, in this group there's going to be voices rising up. Lord God, anointed voices. Anointed voices to speak. Hallelujah. Anointed voices. They're going to carry Your message. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, there's many have been called out. Lord, many have stood by. But Lord, in this last days, there's many are going to enter into offices that you called them to. Hallelujah. That are going to lay down many other things and they're going to go. Hallelujah. And they're going to be your great ambassadors to carry your message. Hallelujah. And I thank you for it all, Father God. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.